Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Lake Life Weekend Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. This is weekend 49 already of this year 2017. Stay tuned. We have with us today Dale Tellinghusen from Perham. He is the general manager of the Lakes Area Cooperative, and we will hear about over a 100-year tradition of dairy farmers cooperating here in Lakes Country, contributing to us in multiple ways and offering services that are new to me, that were new to me, not anymore, and it's a very interesting interview. Please stay tuned to hear Dale speak to us. Some events. We have at the Barn in Dunvilla, December 9th, the Christmas market at the barn, including a vendor show, Santa coming, sleigh rides, and a Christmas show. It's Saturday and Sunday from 9 a.m. this Saturday the 9th, and it goes through 5 p.m. on December 10th. It's at the barn at Dunvilla on Highway 59. Very cute little location. You'll find a link and details on our website, lakelifeweekend.com. Then also that same day, Saturday, we have a free movie at the Washington Square Mall. Kevin Home Alone. I think here it's Home Alone. In Germany, it was Kevin Home Alone. I really remember that movie quite old, but it's available. Maybe I even go. Cinema 7, Detroit Lakes at 10 a.m. in the morning. And please bring an item for the Becker County Food Shelf as a donation. Then also Saturday at 11, we have a book release and signing event at the Becker County Museum, also in Detroit Lakes. There's a book release for the Winter Harvest book and signing from the authors, and that will take place at the Becker County Museum, 714 Summit Avenue, right by the Holmes Theater there. And it's a collection of the history of Becker County's ice industry, and that goes hand in hand with an exhibition I know will be coming down in the pavilion on Washington Avenue. And that is during the time that we have the ice harvest in January for the coming ice palace that we heard about from Hans the other week. So that sounds like an interesting event, all of it, the book and the exhibition later, the pavilion. And then on mark your calendar for Tuesday, December 12th, 2:30 p.m. through 3:15 p.m. There's the Canadian Pacific Holiday Train coming through Detroit Lakes as every year. So enjoy that. Please check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com, for area news and all and more events. Now enjoy our interview with Dale. Learn about the Lakes Area Cooperative. Thanks for tuning in, and you have a great weekend. Yeah, hello, and welcome to our interview part. I'm here with Dale Tellinghusen from the Lakes Area Cooperative, based out of Perham. And before we hear about the history and what the LAC, the Lakes Area Cooperative, is all about, welcome, Dale.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks for, to be here.
Thank you for coming. Make yourself available. Tell us a little bit more about yourself, and are you born in Lakes Area, in Lakes Country? Have you relocated?
Right. So, yeah, my name is Dale Tellinghusen, and I'm currently the general manager at Lakes Area Cooperative. I grew up in northwest Iowa, a small farming community called Sibley, and my wife, we're both from there. She's from Spencer, near there. I grew up in a farming community. My father was, we were hog farmers. My dad was very involved with our local cooperative, being a director.
Okay.
So I was always in tune to kind of the cooperative world and what was going on in cooperatives. My dad was super interested in the cooperative, and actually kind of suggested a cooperative career to me when I got close to done with high school, and thought that was something that I may want to get involved in. So went to school for ag business and started working in cooperatives as early as being in high school.
And, in administrative roles or?
No, just in production type work, anywhere from dumping grain at grain elevators to doing sales, fertilizer sales, that type of thing for cooperatives in Iowa. I worked in a town called Lake Park, Iowa for 5 years after school. And then moved to Windham. I worked in fertilizer and chemical business in Windham for 5 years. And then moved up to the valley, so north of Moorhead in a town called Shelley. I was there for 3 years. That was my first job as a general manager at a cooperative. So that cooperative was mostly agronomy and petroleum. And then after that, then my next move was here, and I've been in Perham now for 20 years. So, although not born here, I feel like a local now.
You're pretty much a local. I hope it.
Yeah.
Interesting. So Iowa and Minnesota is your heritage, and cooperative is how you experienced farming.
Yeah, I honestly have never had a job other than in college, maybe hauling some furniture, but I've never had a job that has not been at a cooperative. Yeah.
Interesting.
So.
And now when we are very zoomed out, if we want to zoom in to a little bit about the LAC, but before we do zoom in that close, maybe the cooperative, is it a concept unique to the Midwest, or is it all over the United States? How many cooperatives exist, just generally?
Just,
I don't know.
You know, on the ag side of the cooperative business, which, you know, we're an ag supply cooperative, even though we do have some retail and consumer business too. But I think right now in agricultural cooperatives in Minnesota would be about 110.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you have all the electric co-ops and the other type of cooperatives that are out there too. Telephone, on the ag cooperative side, I think there's 110 in Minnesota right now. There's like 55 in Iowa, and I think they're down to about 28 in Wisconsin. So there's been a lot of mergers and that type of thing that has reduced the number of cooperatives in the Midwest.
Okay, so that's a concept that has been established over 100 years ago here in the United States. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Our cooperative was formed in 1912. A group of farmers got together, and there were a couple local creameries buying dairy in the area. They felt like they wanted to be a little bit more in control of the business. So there was a group of farmers. I think I don't know the size and how many farmers, but they had to go in. They each threw in about $25, and they bought out a private creamery that was operating here in Perham. And so from there, they started manufacturing butter. Eventually, got into some fluid milk. So they were also bottling some of their byproduct. You know, being as they were taking the butter fat out of it. They operated that creamery up until about the early 1970s. In the early 1970s,
oh, really?
Yeah. So they were still taking milk into Perham in cream cans on pickups and trucks making deliveries and stuff like that in cream cans into Perham until the early 1970s.
Huh.
By that time, our cooperative was, I believe, by that time had purchased a locker plant also, and was processing farm animals in the locker. They were just starting to get into the bag feed business at that time, so they were basically retailing feed to those dairy farms that were bringing milk in. So they were trading milk for feed and that type of thing.
Mm.
So yeah, that brings us up, you know, kind of that 1970 area, and at that time there were probably, 500-600 farms that we're working with this cooperative and bringing milk in and buying feed. The price of cream and, you know, economics changed. They at that time, you know, it was about, I think it was like 73, they stopped processing milk then at what was then Perm Creamery, known as Perm Creamery,
mm-hmm.
And made a contract with Land O'Lakes across town.
Is that a private organization or also cooperative?
Land O'Lakes is also cooperative in Minnesota.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Okay. And that plant is now the Bongard's plant.
Oh.
Okay, so Bongard's Creamery is here in town, which is also a cooperative. Bought that from Land O'Lakes.
From Bongard's, Minnesota, right?
From Bongard's, Minnesota, yeah.
Town of Bongard's, not right. A family name.
Right, Bongard's Creameries, it's called.
Uh-huh, okay.
And they were also formed in early 19, you know, like 1910 or so.
So all cooperatives.
Yes, interesting,
if I may ask one question. So we started in Perm, 1912. We went through the 70s, so 60 years. We began with cream milk products.
Mm-hmm.
We added a meat locker feed. We sold back or traded to the farmers. Now, circling back, I don't know. I know the German law. I'm not sure how it's organized here. A cooperative, is it kind of like a stock company? So I buy a membership as a farmer and I own certain rights? Or clarify
structure.
How is that working?
So the structure of our cooperative is right now and was then too. We are a producer owned cooperative. So producer owned today, the definition of that in our cooperative is that you produce or purchase at least $4,000 worth of agricultural supplies. Okay.
Annually,
yes. And that makes you a voting member. So with that purchase, you can vote for our board of directors.
You have one vote.
Yes. No matter if you're doing 4,000, 40,000, or 400,000, you have one vote.
Oh, it's a minimum of four, and that gives me one vote. And
yes.
Then, okay.
Yep.
Just following.
So that gets you into the governance of the cooperative. We probably have roughly 400 voting members, and they are then allowed to come to the annual meeting and cast their ballot for directors and get involved in the governance of our cooperative. There are also people out there who do business with us that can also qualify for dividends that are not voting members. Okay.
Also, with a voting membership, I also get dividends. So I get share of the
profits.
Profits.
Correct. So as our cooperative works, as we have a profit, we take that profit and then we divide it amongst the people who were involved in those purchases of that item. And at the end of the year, we will pay back roughly 30% of that money in cash, and then they'll get 70% of that money into a stock fund with their name on it.
Really?
So if you earn $100 back, if you share in $100 of our profit, you would get $30 in cash and $70 in stocks. Now that stock, so to participate in that, all you have to do is to do business there. You, if it's ag business, you'll be a voting member. If it's non-ag business, you'll still get the stock and the equity.
But a minimum of 4,000, either purchase or delivery.
In ag business, to be a producer member,
yeah,
to be a producer voting member.
I'm a member too.
I buy
gas.
Right, just
like
right.
Many others here in the area.
Right, so yeah, we have many members that buy maybe 700 gallons of propane a year. And so we've paid a 13-cent dividend on that.
I got a check.
Okay, so then there's $100 available at 13 cents on 700, and that's $100. So you get 30 of that in cash, and $70 in your name then is at the company.
I did not know you have stock.
And that stock is then revolved in the future depending on the profits of the company and when we're able to revolve that back. So
Okay, yeah. Now we know the structure. So as a customer, I'm becoming involved in the I get a return potentially as being a customer. And then if I'm an egg producer, then I can have voting rights. And you have 400 members, you said, that are producing members.
With that have voting rights.
Voting rights. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then how big is your board?
We have a 9-person board right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're on the board. You're obviously the chairman.
No, I'm not the chairman. I'm just an employee of the cooperative. So so I have there's 9 members that are elected from the membership, the voting membership, and then they've hired me to manage the business. And
okay, and then, general manager is employed, and the board kind of oversees and directs
the policy.
Yep.
Overall direction. Yesterday we had a long-range planning meeting with the board, and we for all day we spent looking at the next 3 years and things we wanted to do, and
yeah,
and they give direction to the company and set policy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe a dry topic for some. I'm totally fascinated by I like to know how things work. So,
sure.
But that was really insightful, I find. So now maybe you can disclose a little bit the next 3-year strategy, but you don't have to. But let's maybe learn. We already know you have an egg division, and then I already know we have the propane. So what are the services/ divisions of LAC? What are you all doing?
Right.
Meat, so, dairy, propane?
Yeah, so over time, so the 70s, like I said, we were kind of getting, so we moved our milk over towards Land O'Lakes, which is now owned by Bongaerts. So we still have a fleet of trucks that go out in the country every day, and we purchase milk from farmers, and then we resell it to Bongaerts Creameries.
Okay.
As Lake Surrey Co-op. So we purchase from the farm, we write those guys a check for their milk, and then we resell it to Bongaerts as a group. So we're doing about, I think we probably haul about 600,000 pounds a day into Bongaerts right now. So we have, there's 7 trucks on the road every day, seven, you know, days a week, 52 weeks a year hauling milk.
So you're a logistic company, actually.
Yeah, we do that work.
600,000
pounds.
Pounds.
Pounds, yeah.
So that's 300,000 ton?
That would be, it's about, it ends up being about 14 truckloads, about 14 semi-loads of milk a day.
How many dairy, I'm sorry to interrupt again, but how many dairy farmers do we have?
So we pick up milk from approximately 115 farms that would produce that milk.
That's a lot of farms.
Some are picked up every day, some are picked up every other day. Yeah.
Ottertail and Becker counties?
We would go probably as far south as Clitheroe area. We're picking up milk from Bloomingfields, which is a dairy over by Holly.
Oh.
And we go east towards Nimrod, and then north towards Park Rapids. So that's kind of the area we pick up milk from.
Quite a radius.
Yeah, and we pick up, so in amongst that, we'll do a little contract hauling for some other cooperatives and some other private companies that also buy milk and bring it into here. But about 80% of that would be member milk. So in addition to that, then we, as agriculture struggled, was having some hard times in the early 90s, our cooperative got involved in the petroleum business. At that time, purchased the propane business from corporate Senex.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
The local
co-op here bought that propane company from Senex, a regional cooperative.
Senex is also a cooperative.
They are also a cooperative, yeah. We do business with them, and we are branded Senex in our gas stations and our propane, but they're a regional cooperative. Hmm. So they do business all through the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But we are members of that cooperative. Lake Surrey Cooperative is a member of Senex.
Senex.
Right. So in the early 90s, then the cooperative said, agriculture's kind of tough. Can we rely just on the dairy business, or should we do more consumer business as well? So they bought some bulk fuel business and started delivering bulk fuel. Well, that kind of led into purchasing also a couple of gas stations. And just kind of kept evolving with that business. So that also then, about the same time, the early 70s, we were getting into crop production. So the company built a fertilizer plant and started selling fertilizer to the farmers. So
out of what? Interest, I'm serious.
It's commercial fertilizer. So it comes in on the rail. We were blending and applying custom commercial fertilizer.
Here in Perm?
Yes. Yeah. And still in that business. So so we were involved in that business of fertilizer and chemical, and then just in 2010 that business we combined with CPS here in town, who also had a fertilizer plant, and we built the new one now that sits on the west side of town. That building is about 5 years old now. So we've combined that fertilizer business with them, and that is a 50-50 limited liability company that we both own 50% of.
Ah, so a cooperative can buy into business, and if I'm a voting member, so like I know, for example, the cooperative structure is also common as kind of a credit union in Germany, mm-hmm. like a credit union. So the more shares the more money I deposit, the more I have part of this credit union, then the higher my dividends are. So is it still though, because you seem to be driven by making income for your members in a way, mm-hmm. because the dairy farmer said like, hey, we are scared in the 90s. I don't know if my cows can support my family, let's say. I want a supplementary income. Let's invest in propane. Mm-hmm. And so can I have higher dividends? Can I have more shares?
Right. And the other thing I think they were concerned with is how do we pay back that 70% that we issued, right? We had that dollar of earnings, so we paid 30 cents in cash, and now we got that 70% that we also want to pay back. So they thought, well, let's get into some other businesses that will help us with our cash flow and our working capital to actually help pay back that 70 cents as you know. And
if I retire? Or what? When do I get the 70 cents?
The 70 cents is paid out three different ways. Okay, it could be paid out upon estate. Okay, so if somebody with that money in the cooperative passes away, they show us a death certificate and the money's paid out. It's also paid out by years. So last year we paid out 2007, 8, 9, excuse me, we paid out 1997, 1998, 1999, 2000, and a portion of 2001. So we were able to catch up 5 years. So that we just look at it by year. The other thing is by birth date. So as our members turn 75 years old is the current birth date. When they turn 75, they can show us their birth certificate and we'll pay out 100% of their equity.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And at that time, they can earn it at 100% cash instead of 30% cash. So, So those are the ways we pay it out. So, yeah. So currently, we're involved in the agronomy business with Agrium or CPS in a 50-50 LLC. We're hauling milk. We have the locker plant, which was rebuilt in 91 due to a fire, and we're equal to federal in that locker plant.
What does it mean?
Equal to federal means that we can process, you can bring in a beef, we can process it, you can take that beef out, and you can legally resell that then to other people. So we're equal to federal, meaning we're inspected. So we're a state inspected equal to.
So you have obviously not butchers. You have people that who is your client there?
The farmers again.
Oh, so they'll have
bring
a couple of
they'll bring in some beef and they'll have it processed and to feed their family or
sell it a little bit
or resell some of it. Yeah. So then we have a retail side of that also where people can come in have some nice thick steaks cut and
you have a shot?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right on
I didn't even know
right,
where.
Yeah, right across from the old high school in Pearl. Oh. Here, right on 8. Yep.
North side towards the
in Perham, is anything north?
Yeah, I don't know. I just tried to look at the map here.
I call it east. I call it east.
Okay.
So between the ball field and the high school
okay.
is where our locker plant is.
And there's a little retail outfit where you always have just steaks and meats in there?
We have everything from smoked meats to ham. We cure hams. We process complete, hogs and pork and beef and and anything, pretty much. So
I have to check that out.
Yeah, it's okay. So we have a nice. That's nice business for the farms too.
So you have 4 divisions now. Is that
well?
More?
And then then it's the propane we have, of course, and we service 7,000 residential homes with propane.
Wow.
They would be anywhere from the Battle Lake area up to kind of Hackensack, kind of through that area. We have retail in those locations, propane. And then we have our convenience store business. So we actually own and retail now out of 10 different convenience stores in different communities. So Virgus, Battle Lake, Ottertail, Perham.
Virgus,
yeah, the Senex there in Virgus on the corner.
Oh.
That's part of Lakes Area Cooperative now.
Sure.
We're in Park Rapids, we're in Monaga, we're in Wolf Lake. You'll be able to find us in Wolf Lake because we're about the only store there.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's small there.
Yeah.
I drove by it once. And, so convenience store, you mean gas stations?
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
I was thinking of a supermarket.
Yeah.
Right. So it's, okay.
Yep, and so we have 3 locations that are also gas stations with a service station on it where they'll do tires and brakes, that type of thing.
Okay.
And then some of them are just doing convenience items and gas.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then we have in Perham here, we also have the Budget Host Motel right next to the store that we run out of that store. We're probably one of the more diversified companies as far as cooperatives go in Minnesota. There's very few that would have as many entities as our cooperative does. So it's
so you have 400 voting members. You have a board of
9,
and then you have 7,000 consumers propane. They're also like me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have then you have the convenience stores, but they are operated by you. I mean, they're just. Those are all employees. How many employees does the LAC have then? Hundreds, I guess, with the truck.
Yeah, we'd probably be around 160 right now, I would guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's all not public, I guess. Like if I say, well, how much revenue do you have? It's
pretty public. We're pretty public. We'll this year probably around $85 million in sales.
Wow.
That we would do this year. So
I would have never guessed.
Yeah.
Huh. So you have a huge impact in the area.
I really hope that our goal is to enhance the value of agriculture in the area and be kind of that tool for our area farmers. So, they can buy bulk fuel through us, they can buy bulk feed for their animals, they can buy their propane to dry their corn. They can. We have nutritionists out there to help them with their rations. We have, the milk pickup service, and so I that's our goal is to have that value for our producer farmers and to make sure that they have a good livelihood and help enhance their income.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we kind of feel like we're doing that when we send cash out to the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how we help dairy farmers and row crop farmers,
So it's really the concept or the strategy is to have the farms alive, keep the farms alive a
correct.
Little bit.
Yeah.
Supplements, make sure that they can operate as profitable.
Service wise and financial wise, both. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
trying to maintain an infrastructure for them, you know, help the milk plant survive. Help, you know.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, to cooperate. Huh?
Mm-hmm, right.
So if we go back to the roots, which is dairy, I suppose. And I have no clue on how big a farm needs to be. So how small is your smallest? Like, is it 25 milking cows, or and then 2,500? Can you give us a little insight about dairy farms?
Yeah, dairy farms in this area can range probably from 30 cows milking up to 600 or 700. You know, right, that we work with. You know, you go south, you know, there are farms in Minnesota that are 9,000 head of dairy cows. So
that's huge. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we're more focused on that family farm and that type of operation than we are on the big commercial type business.
So if I have a farm with 45 cows,
mm-hmm.
can I feed a family on that? Or is that a hobby farm?
It could be either. A lot of those people would have one, probably off-farm income.
Okay.
If they were down to that size, but not necessarily. You know, it depends on their cropping rotation. Do they have a big enough? Maybe they have a, you know, they have probably those 45 cows, but they may have several hundred acres of crop farm too.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, you gotta milk a cow every day, correct?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
These dairy farmers in this area are honestly, they're salt of the earth people. They're extremely hardworking people. They're 100% committed to their business. I mean, to make that living, they spend most of their days on the farm.
Yeah, they cannot. I mean,
they don't
need
go
help.
Far.
No, you can't. So, and the equipment, I mean, you need machinery to milk those cows every day, right?
Yeah, there's, you know, some of it's old. We deal with probably half a dozen farms that are robotic milkers. But a lot of them are still done in stalls and even some stanchion barns where the cows are in a stanchion.
I don't know what that is.
A stanchion would be where they're like in a headlock and they're milked there. Or they may be in a parlor situation where they walk through a parlor and get milked, or a situation where they walk through a robot to get milked.
Yeah, I heard of those carousels.
Yeah, yeah.
We have carousels here?
There aren't any in our
They're down south in Texas or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I think they're more the 3,000 cows before they get into those.
Yeah, coincidence that I heard about that. But
yeah.
but the cow knows when it wants to get milked and those things, right?
They're kind of like robotic.
On a clock. Yeah, they're on a clock, right?
They're fed in the robot, but you know, they feel pressure, right?
Yeah.
So they go in and get milked, and some of those cows may get milked up to 6-7 times a day in those robotic milkers. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's fascinating in a way. So any outlook? I mean, you just purchased a company. You said in 2010. No.
In 2010, we merged with CPS and on that agronomy side. To our facilities were both shot. We both wanted to stay in business. Facilities are super expensive to build when you're building a fertilizer plant. So we just decided to build together and each own half of it. So by trading some investment back and forth, we were able to work that out and to do that.
What kind of fertilizer do you do? Like, what does it mean? We throw chemicals together and then spend
it? It's like nitrogen fertilizer, so urea, phosphate, potash. So potash mines are in Canada.
Okay.
Potash mostly comes out of there. There's urea manufactured different ways around the country, but that's the nitrogen.
Mm-hmm.
And then the phosphorus mostly comes from the south, like Florida or Louisiana.
And
it's all prilled fertilizer. So it's prilled fertilizer that we would blend together and we soil test to make sure that the crops need it, first of all,
mm-hmm.
To be, you know, environmentally conscious. We soil sample. We say, okay, the crop needs 100 pounds of nitrogen and 40 of phosphate and 50 of potash. So in that plant, we would blend that for that field.
Ah, so I have a custom order.
Sure.
So it's a service. So you come out, test the soil, and then say, Dirk, you need these ingredients, and then you mix it, and then I can apply it.
Or we can apply it. Actually, we have the big flotation equipment to go out and spread it on the ground for you.
So I just need to buy some land and I'm a farmer.
That's all
I can get all this. Okay.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. So, yeah. Okay. And how many, obviously it's still in business. So with the merger in 2010, it's like 7 years and seven seasons already.
Mm-hmm.
So is that going good?
It's better than we could have hoped, really. You know, I mean, it's taken a lot of cooperation between the two companies. Lakes Area Cooperative has two people on, that has its own board. So Lakes Area Cooperative has two on the board, and Agrium has two on the board. And then we've hired a manager to run the business.
Sure.
Charlie Gook, and a great guy here in town that runs it for us. So we meet monthly and discuss the business, and it's gone really well. Yeah, it's been very well supported. It's grown since we put it together.
Wow, that's good. So a Lakes Country success story, yeah, literally.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. So looking back over 105 years in business or in existence, and you just said, is there anything you can disclose what the future may hold, or are you sailing? Are you just sailing okay, or is there any other projects?
We kind of look at our business and say, okay, we know that our electricity bill is going to go up every year, you know,
okay.
And we know that our labor bill is going to go up every year, and you know, we know that our property taxes will increase. So we look at this year and say, okay, we had this much margin. So we know that next year we need this much more, and the next year we need this much more. So I would say that, yeah, our board's direction is to continue to grow the company and stay in like-kind businesses. You know, we're not, you know, the bulk petroleum kind of led into the convenience stores and the, you know, that type of thing. But we aren't trying to go out on a whole new venture and get into, we don't want to get anything.
Well, not like in the 90s you did. You know, when you said like dairy may be at risk, hey, let's add some business. So, no, it's all good. But like renewable energy or like solar fields or no?
Yeah. You know, I mean,
you
don't know. I mean, I think we have to change with the times. You know, if we'd have stayed the same, we'd been gone. So
yeah,
we have to look for opportunities, and also we kind of look for, you know, some things we get drawn into. You know, there's some of these communities that we're doing propane business in. We have storage tanks there now and service that area because customers were asking for us to come. They weren't happy with the company that was servicing the area, or you know, maybe it was a national company where they didn't feel like they had a voice in what was happening to them. So some of those areas we've been drawn into to do business with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really interesting story. I would have never guessed, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so
you know, what's made it all possible really is the obviously the producer members supporting it. The excellent opportunity we've had to hire the workforce that we have in this area, I think, you know, because most of our workforce grew up on a farm, like I did, you know, most, and maybe I'm a little biased there, but I think most of those people have pretty good work ethic. So so that's helped our business a lot. They maybe are not able to go out and buy a farm or whatever, but they can still stay involved in agriculture by working at the cooperative.
Yeah. Yeah, very diverse, very big. I would have never guessed how many households are actually, and then farms. And I didn't know that there was so much retail or so much accessible. Not only my propane, I can also go to the meat locker. Of course, the convenience stores, but I didn't know that you owned the Kinexus.
That's good. I mean, I hope we hope people feel like they're not operating, you know, not doing business with some huge company that doesn't have a face. You know, we want our company to have a face and to be
accessible,
like,
and identifiable. Yeah,
right.
I understand.
Right.
No, I have no further question. But I think you're a great resource now for the future. If I need some more dairy input or things.
Well, I appreciate the time here today. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming. And you have a great weekend.
All right, thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com. And if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com. And you have a wonderful weekend ahead.